Good morning. And a warm welcome to you. And also a warm welcome to Alan Grant, who are leading us in worship this morning. It's always nice to see Alan back from time to time. One final thing is there's an extra intimation. The flower box will be available at the end of the service at the front door. Thank you.
Technology and I do not get on. So if something ceases to function, it's my fault. Thanks, Ian, for the very warm welcome. And to everyone else who was speaking to me this morning, it's always good to come back to St. Paul's. As well as welcoming everyone to our worship here in the sanctuary, we also welcome those who are joining with us online, because it's together we make up God's family. God has called us, like Moses in the wilderness, the prophets in the hills, and the disciples from villages and cities. He has called people of the past throughout the ages, and he has called us here today. So come, let us worship the God who loves us, cares for us, and who holds us close. It is in response to God's invitation we'll sing as our opening praise the first three verses of hymn 510. Jesus calls us here to meet him.
Jesus calls us to each other, vastly different though we are. Creed and colour, class and gender, neither limit nor debar. Join the hand of friend and stranger, join the hands of age and youth. Join the faithful and the doubter in their common search for truth.
But you'll gather, Audrey's not able to be with us today, so we're relying on technology. In the opening words of that hymn, we sang, Jesus calls us here to meet him. as through word and song, we affirm God's promised presence where his people live and care. So may we, who have accepted that offer, open our hearts and minds as we join together in prayer to the God who has called us. Let's pray. Almighty and loving God, on this day we join with all your people across the world to sing your praise, to give you glory, and to thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. And you are here with us. You are with us wherever we go. There's no situation in which you will leave us or abandon us. You rejoice with us in our happiness and times of success. You comfort us and embrace us when we feel overwhelmed by the hardships of life that come our way. You lift us up when we are down. You are our strength and shield, and you hold us safe in your love, a love that is out of this world. It's a love and security that you offer to all. You exclude no one who comes to you. Lord God, we thank you and honour your name. We thank you that you've drawn us together as a church community and given us your Son to show us how we are to love one another, how to care and support each other. And yet, while in this moment of worship, we freely offer thanks for all you have done and all you do for us, we admit that we can be quick to forget. Our attention wanders, and we again find ourselves focusing on ourselves and our own little personal world. Forgive us and draw us back to you. Forgive us for the times when we have forgotten your love for us and found ourselves upsetting others by hurtful words or the way we behaved. Forgive us when we get annoyed over something trivial or imagining criticism when there was none. Help us to remember what it means to love our neighbours as you love us. Gracious God, as we pause and open ourselves to your healing, restoring hand, forgive us. It is as forgiven people we can start this week afresh. It is as your people here that we would pray as one, in the way your Son taught us, as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, before we listen to God's word for us today, we're going to take a few moments to remember what we are doing here this morning. It's not merely taking an hour or so to withdraw from the world. We are taking time to worship God and to share our lives with him. So it's with that thought in mind, we're going to remain seated, and we can sing quietly, or just listen to the hymn, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is Here. We'll remain seated, and you can either sing along quietly, or just sit and listen. But we'll be still, for the presence of the Lord is here. Word now, in which Alec is going to share with us this morning. Now, both our readings are taken from the New Testament. And we begin with a passage from Luke's account of the Gospel, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples.
The first reading today is from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 to 56. Not peace, but division. I have come to bring fire on earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. There will be father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Interpreting the times, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hippocrates, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How it is that you don't know how to interpret this present time. And the next reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 to chapter 12, verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By the faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab became, because she welcomed spies, she was not killed from those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead and raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, and so that only together of us would they be made perfect. God disciplines his sons. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great clouds of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. And may God add the blessing of his word.
Thank you, Ali. As Ali read from the letter to the Hebrews, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So the praise is hymn 465, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you. Yes, it's now on. Only one so far. I've got a lot more to go. I'm sure, I was going to say, I don't know how many people have had this experience, but I'm sure most of us have had the experience of selective hearing. Right? Someone only hearing what they want to hear and just blanking out what they don't want or like to hear. Is anyone guilty of selective hearing? Or have you suffered from selective hearing? Now, at home, I've become unable to hear the word or any sentence containing the word loft, because it's always in the form of a question, as in, when are you going to clear out that loft? Now, this is a job I have been putting off for years. My tactic has been, in the summer months, it's far too hot to go up there. And in the winter months, oh, it's far too cold to go up there. But it's now coming to a head. We're all very much aware of rising fuel costs, so with more installations to go in the loft. Now, before that can be done, it's got to be emptied. And I'm not good at throwing things out. It'll always come in handy. So eventually, everything ends up in the loft. There's 40 years of stuff up there. Big job. Hence my selective hearing. But it's not only in our homes we have selective hearing. It happens in churches. If there's a job to be done, or a volunteer is needed to take on a new role or a new duty, that appeal can sometimes fall on deaf ears. I get selective hearing. I never heard that bit. In Scripture too, we can have selective hearing. There are many things Jesus said that we can remember. We find comforting. We find encouraging. But there's some we tend not to hear, or perhaps we even ignore, because they're a wee bit difficult to understand, or I just don't like the sound of that. So we gloss over that. We don't listen to that bit. In the gospel passage that Luke records for us, which Ali read for us today, that can be one of those very things. Because Jesus said, "Do you think I came to give peace to the earth? No, I tell you, I came to divide it. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, division." What is going on here? What is he meaning? To us, taking it face value, these words seem completely at odds with what we understand of him. He is the Prince of Peace. Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, said that Jesus was born to guide us in the ways of peace. The skies were filled with angels singing peace on earth at his birth. Jesus blessed people to go in peace. He came to bring unity, and for all people to come to a knowledge and love of the one God of compassion. He wanted us to be united by the Holy Spirit, who is love, even as Father and Son are united by the Holy Spirit. And yet, here he declares, he has not come to bring peace, but division. So it's no wonder such apparently contradictory messages are glossed over. Instead, we prefer to listen and read something easier and less challenging. But as always, context is everything. See, at this time in his ministry, Jesus knew that the horrors of the cross were getting ever closer. We're in the latter stages of his ministry. And so there's a real sense of urgency in his words to the disciples. These people had to face facts about what life in the future will be like for them, and by implication for us. And Jesus pulls no punches. Change is coming to their lives. For those who would be disciples, they have decisions to make. Do they follow him, or do they follow the world? And there, in that question, in its most basic form, we see the first potential for division. Where do my loyalties lie? Is it to the way of the world, or Christ's way? And for those of the early years of the church, that decision had potential for very serious personal ramifications on relationships with family and with friends. And many who abandoned the Jewish faith to follow Jesus and become what were eventually known as Christians, they could be disowned by their family. They were cast out, no longer welcome. The family became divided. Friends would turn their back on them, shun them. For us, we are less likely to experience such division or harsh treatment. There may be occasions, however, when we feel we are being led or called to do something, and we become enthusiastic about it, we become passionate, we're fired up and we're excited. Then we may be questioned by family or close friends, asking, perhaps out of concern, if we might be getting too involved, too caught up in so many church things, spending too much time there. The message they give is, well, it's all right to have a faith, but don't get carried away. Don't let it take over your life. And so we can be dissuaded or discouraged by those who don't understand or share the same depth of faith. It can be demoralizing. We can feel conflicted. More than that, just as Jesus spoke of hard times and challenging situations coming to the disciples, difficult and uncertain times also come our way, and they come in all shapes and forms. Health issues, relationships, financial, to name but a few. And now currently, as everyone knows, the Church of Scotland is in the process of massive change. Changes which will impact every congregation. And many are concerned for the future of what it means personally and how it will affect communities. So how do we handle these difficult situations? Whether as individuals in what we're going through in our own lives, or as a church going forward. For that, we get a wee bit of an insight in our passage from the letter to the Hebrews. Because difficult times were also staring those people in the face. The people of the infant Christian church, and to whom this letter was written, were living through all sorts of trials and tribulations. They were having a tough time. And amongst the situations they were probably having to deal with was being challenged, interrogated by members of the Jewish synagogues to whom they had previously belonged, as well as having to deal with being ignored and shunned by the local community at large. And so what we have in the verses Ali read to us is a rallying call to faith, to continue in faith, to strengthen faith. It's a rallying call, this message. And the writer gives us name after name of those who live by faith, a list of examples of great achievements, great events achieved by faith. These were people who stood against the odds, who took on God-given tasks that by human measure seemed impossible. This great cloud of witnesses put their faith in God. By their living, By their commitment to God, we see that a central feature of Christian faith, a trust in the promises, presence and power of God, was also present in the past. But where we can take heart from God's people of long ago, the difference now is that we have Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, and in whom we are made complete. That's why we are reminded to keep our eyes fixed on him at all times as we go through life on our Christian journey of faith. That's why we keep our eyes focused on him as we go through life. He will keep us going as we run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run with perseverance. Don't give up. And that's something we saw illustrated just over a week ago, if you're watching the athletics events in the Commonwealth Games. If you think back, we saw concentration. We saw effort, real effort. We saw striving, athletes not giving up, but continuing to the finish line. That is what we are urged to do. Keep on going. Persevere in faith. When Jesus said, "Do you think I've come to bring peace on earth?" No, it's division. It's a message that would no doubt have shocked the disciples, just as it can shock us. So we can be tempted to have selective hearing and ignore it in preference to something easier on the ear. But this is a message which is not intended to make us feel all cozy and comfortable. It's a message which brings home the reality of discipleship. You see, we just can't hear what we want to hear. We can't just love those who love us. We just can't love those we want to love. We cannot serve only those we want to serve. We can't put our faith in a drawer and take it out in certain circles at certain times. The basic issue is whether loyalty to Jesus takes priority over all other earthly values. See, at times we can feel divided. We can feel separated from the world. And we are, because our values are not those of the world. But we are united in Christ and in all believers. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, there is a cost to discipleship. There's a cost to discipleship, and there is. Because by choosing to follow Christ in his way, we can come into conflict with the ways of the world. We can feel hurt when society dismisses us and the church as irrelevant, or if we're made fun of or ridiculed. When friends, even family, disagree with our faith or choices, it can get us down. You know, someone put it this way. If we want to live at peace with this world, we ought to enthusiastically and unapologetically embrace the values of the world. It's easier that way. But if inner peace is at all important, then we take the road less travelled. The road where we listen to the still, quiet voice of Jesus and follow it. And persevere in faith. Follow it and persevere in faith. We follow it knowing we are following in the footsteps of those who have gone before. The great cloud of witnesses. People whose lives tell us what faith means. We follow it knowing we have Christ alongside us, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. We follow it knowing that he brings true, real peace our life, and it's a peace which is out of this world. As Jesus said, my peace I give you, such as the world cannot give. So it's in his peace we are empowered to go on, to face and overcome anything in the world. So let us, as those who have gone before us, continue to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen. Well, as we think of the great cloud of witnesses of God's people over the centuries and of God's faithfulness to everyone who puts their faith in him, let us give thanks in singing hymn 159, Lord, for the years your love has kept unguided. Give thanks to God by singing this hymn. God has walked with his people throughout history, we can come with confidence knowing he walks alongside us today. And so as we dedicate all that we give, whether it was this morning or we gave in other ways, as we give all that we are, as we lay before him our prayers for others, ourselves and the church, we are coming to the God who listens. Let us pray. Generous and gracious God, you give us so much. You give us unconditional love, a love brought to life in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. You give us families and friends who care for us and who share our lives. And you give us a place in your church family. A family around us now and a family across the world. We thank you that you accept us, even though at times we don't always show it. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for every good thing in our lives. And here we offer to you what we have. We give from our resources. We give financially. We give our time. We give our abilities. We make all we have available to you. So take, bless, and use all we give for the work of your kingdom and your glory. Father in heaven, as we think of the great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us and all their work done in your name, so we pray for all who continue that work today. We bring to you those who have left family and friends to work far from home and of the challenges they face. We think of those living in places where your church is oppressed, where open worship is forbidden, and your people endure discrimination and abuse as part of daily living. Strengthen and encourage them that they may persevere in faith. And may we persevere in our prayers for others. We pray for ourselves when, despite all our efforts, we sometimes feel that the work we do in your name and for your church doesn't seem to make any difference. And so we become tired and despondent, perhaps even tempted to give up. Strengthen and encourage us that we may persevere in faith and in prayer. We bring to you all who are finding life and faith challenging, whether it is through financial worries, health concerns, or with strained family relationships. Bless each one and each situation in which they find themselves with your comforting, your strengthening hand. Guide us, enable us in ways that we bring help. And hear us, loving Lord. Hear us as we offer to you our own personal prayers for those who are close to our heart today and whom we bring to you in a moment of silent prayer. God of the ages, for whom no prayer goes unheard, these are ours. We lay them before you in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Knowing that we persevere in faith, we are supported and encouraged along the way by Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So let us in thanksgiving sing as our closing praise hymn 182, "Now Thank Be All Our God." Now just a wee word, that after the benediction, while Audrey would normally play for us threefold Amen, she's not here to play that, so we are going to do it unaccompanied, and we're all going to start on the same note. Now you know how it goes. So just as you're singing this, prepare for that after benediction. So let's sing, thanking God for all he's done. "Now Thank We All Our God." 182. And now, as we leave to take our place in the world, may we also take our place as part of a great cloud of witnesses as we continue to share in Christ's work in the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, be among each one of us and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.